the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Well, good morning, folks. Thank you for, you have no choice. Let me be here. But we thank Pastor Lewis for his faith in daring to let me come and be up front here. We love and appreciate your pastor. We pray for him. It's been 3 months since the last sermon I've shared with anybody. And so please bear with me if I am stumbling through a little bit just being here with you. But what a delight to be able to walk the spiritual journey that you and I have with our Lord. And we do it together. And that's the joy of being part of the body of Jesus Christ, isn't it? There is not one person who is more special than another. There is no one person who is greater than another in God's eyes. We stand together, loved by him. While we appreciate so many of you who share in this service and in this church, we really always appreciate Dan Fong for his leadership and the worship, the songs he selects, but we appreciate his heart. That makes a difference. Some churches just simply hire a worship leader, right? Pay him money, just kind of be up front to do things or play. Yes, we have to talk to your church board or your. And you know, they just go up there and they just do a job. But you know the heart of, you know, the people here and all your worship team, we know their hearts. And it's been our joy to know some of you over the years. And so, praise the Lord, how good it's been. Let me put my Bible down. This is only a symbolic. I read it every day, 2-3 times a day sometimes. I bring it to church, but I don't read from the Bible too often because everything is in PowerPoint anymore for me. But this is what we base what we say. It's upon the Word of God, and you check me on it, right? You have your Bibles. If I say something that is not in Scripture, you tell me. Well, I was also told that the trap door opens up in half an hour. Bear with me if I overdo it. If I don't get invited back again, I understand. Okay. Pastor Lewis has introduced Jeannie, my wife, a wonderful wife. We celebrated our anniversary, our 37th anniversary in April. There were times, and it was only by God's grace that we are still married, because there were times when she wanted to strangle me, times when I wanted to poison her food. But God has blessed us, and wow, it's been wonderful. My parents were born in Canton, China. I was born in San Francisco. I grew up in the city. Jeannie was born in Cleveland, Ohio, came to San Francisco when she was just a little baby. While in high school, God saved me. Early then, I felt his calling, and I really sensed his calling for me to go into full-time ministry. And so I was obedient to that call. And so it's been 46 years now, nonstop for me, being in the ministry. And it's been an exciting journey. And I've been readjusting being in your position, sitting, you know, as a congregant, listening to a sermon or listening and trying to learn songs and, you know, new songs and so forth. And so it's been a learning and growing experience for me. And this is the excitement of our faith. There's always something that God is wanting to teach us. There's always something that he's wanting to do to make us to be more like Jesus. I've been a Christian now since 1964, however many years that's been. And I am learning more today about myself, about my faith than I've ever. So it's been an exciting journey. I usually have a PowerPoint screen in front of me, and I have control. I have no control today, so I'm neurotic. I have to trust our brother here for the PowerPoint slides here. This is San Francisco. The next slide is Easter Sunday. I went up too early in the morning because we were in San Francisco, went up to a place called Twin Peaks. I don't know. Oh, I see a screen up there. Okay now. Twin Peaks is the second highest, I guess, natural hill in San Francisco. I went up there, and the next slide, I was so encouraged. Because there was a group of young people up there early, it was about 7:30 in the morning, having a sunrise service on their own. And there they were praying. I was so encouraged to see a new generation of faithful young people following the Lord. You could just keep this slide here up for now. Do you know what I'm worth now that I'm retired? Take a guess. What am I worth? Well, according to my life insurance policy, I'm worth $150,000. And that's good news. Not a lot of money, but better than nothing, right? The bad news is that in 3 years, that insurance policy expires. And then, what am I worth? Next slide. I'm a Medicare card-carrying citizen. Now, for some of you who are a little bit younger here, you look at me and you say, boy, what an old man. Do I want to listen to this guy? Well, I am old, and sometimes I am forgetful. But I'm not as forgetful as this elderly gentleman who moved into a senior retirement community. And he wasn't comfortable being there at first, but then he finally got comfortable, started to get to know a lot of people. And he met this one lady that he really was fond of, and they started to see each other often, got together for breakfast and lunch and dinner, and you know, just had a lot of times talking together. And finally, one day, he asked this lady, do you want to marry me? And she says, yes. And so, come the evening, he slept, and he was so thrilled, and he woke up the next day and still excited, and he started to think, I can't remember if she said yes or no to me. And so he sought her out in the community center there and found her and says, alas, I'm glad that, you know, I found you here. And he says, you know, last night we talked and I proposed to you, but I just couldn't remember if you said yes or no. And the lady says, oh, I'm so glad you came and up here and, you know, you found me and you're reminding me. He says, you know, last night I remember that I said yes, but I couldn't remember who I said yes to. Next slide here is, we want to think a little bit about how to hear God's whisper to you. God used the servant prophet Elijah to kill literally hundreds of Baal worshipers, prophets, and Asherah prophets. And after these prophets, and there was about 850 of them who were killed by the sword, the word got to King Ahab, who was a Jewish king of Israel at this time. He had married a Gentile woman by the name of Jezebel. And when Jezebel heard that all her dear prophets were killed, she was so angry, promised that she would kill Elijah. Elijah got word of this, and he was so afraid that he ran and he hid in a cave. And as he was hiding in that cave, a word came to him through an angel, and God sent him a message. And the passage that we read, and you don't mind throwing that again up on the screen, we won't read this again. Thank you, our reader, for reading that this particular passage. A passage to some very incredible things that happened on that mountain where Elijah was and where God interacted with him. And so when we read this particular passage and you know this particular story, you would think that with the mountains literally separating apart, with the rocks just shattering and breaking and making all this debris fly all over and creating all this sound, you would think that the deafening sound of wind blowing and just rustling through the trees, you would think that the loud sounds of the earth shaking, you would think that the fire that was roaring all around Elijah, that God would somehow show that he was greater than all these three natural elements that bring so much fear and destruction all around. You would think that he would stand up and he would just say, I am greater than the fires. I am greater than the earthquake. I am greater than mountains falling apart. And you would think, I am Almighty God, is something he would show himself to Elijah. But you know, God didn't do those things. And in this particular story, in this passage we had just read, God spoke to Elijah in a gentle whisper. I like the King James version of gentle whisper. It says, small, still voice. In Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, is the next slide here. The psalmist writes, having God speak to him, where God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen and I will be exalted in the earth. You know, this word still is an interesting word because it simply means relax. It means let go. And so God says, when you're in my presence, be still. Just relax. Just let go. And then not only does God says be still, but he says know that I am God. Know, of course, very simply is to understand as we understand it today. But the Bible, throughout the Bible, doesn't want people just to have an intellectual knowledge of God, just to understand that he is God. He wants us to go deeper than that because God is wanting us to know, and to know is to experience him. And so the idea in Scripture, throughout Scripture, when you read it and when you begin to really understand God's heart for man, is that we are to know God in our head, first of all. And then we need to take that knowledge and let it touch our hearts. And then after it touches our hearts, then we need to begin to live it out. Live it out in our daily lives. Just as Dan was sharing when he sings these songs and as he leads them and it carries him through the week. That's what God wants us to do. Not just to take something on Sunday and leave it in church as we leave this place, but to live out and to see the reality of God work in our lives. I used to sleep like a rock, or a log, or whatever. I won't tell you other things that I do, like snore, but I don't do that anymore. I can't. Nowadays, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I can't fall back asleep for maybe a half hour or an hour. And so I'm just kind of semi-conscious. Well, I'm semi-conscious anyway during the day, so what can I say? What do I do when I'm awake or half awake in the middle of the night for the half hour or an hour sometimes? Well, what I do is I start to talk to God. I start to pray. And I tell you this not to say how spiritual or how devoted I am, because I need God desperately when I am awake. As I go about my day's activities, that the thoughts that I think, the feelings that I might have, and the desires that might be in my heart, I need God to help me. And so when I'm half asleep, I also need God. I need God to guide me, to speak to me, and to watch over me. And so when I'm awake, then half awake, I start to pray. I pray for people. I think about all the people that I've just met that day, or the people who were part of my church, or the people I know and relatives, people who need salvation. I start to pray. And then I pray for different situations in my life. And then I pray for myself a lot of times. A lot of times, I just, in the middle of the night, I say, God, I repent. Forgive me. Forgive me for the thoughts that I had that I shouldn't have had. Forgive me for maybe the words that I spoke that I shouldn't have spoken. Forgive me for the anger that I had in my heart that it shouldn't have been there. And so I pray and I repent. I pray that sometimes just attitudes, you know. Sometimes we look at and we feel so self-righteous, or we feel so justified to have the attitudes that we have. And, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, God just points out things to me, and I say, God, forgive me for that attitude. I shouldn't have had it. And in God's still small voice, he speaks to me, and he teaches me a lot of things about my life. And it's an exciting journey, just kind of think about it. Not so long ago, I was awakened in the middle of the night, and I couldn't sleep, and this doesn't happen too often, but I heard, again, God's whisper. A whisper not that I heard audibly, but a whisper in my heart, or a whisper in my thinking, and I just knew. And I heard God say to me, I love you. And when I heard that, the first thing I thought about was my mom. She passed away about 6 years ago. She would have been 95 years old. But when Jeannie and I first came to Sacramento to take over the pastorate here, my youngest brother brought my mom up to visit us, and he brought her to church. In our church, we had a retired pastor, minister, and he explained Christ and salvation to my mom. My mom prayed with him and accepted Christ in her heart, into her heart. Oftentimes when we went back to San Francisco to visit her, I would find her listening to a boombox. If you, most of you probably know what that is. Some of you probably still have one and will not admit it. Listening to a Chinese service broadcast in the radio. And she would do that every day. She just loved hearing the word of God. She didn't attend church, but that was a sign that God really did a genuine work of salvation in her heart, gave her a love for him. And so I thank God for my mom, for saving her. And then I kind of heard God say to me, what are you thankful for? And I thought about it, and I said, God, I thank you for saving me. When I didn't even care about you, when I didn't even know you, you helped me to understand, you helped me to believe. I said, I thank you, God, for how you have watched over us over the years. You have blessed us. Never had any need as such where he did not somehow provide it, where somehow things were, where the needs were met, the problems were resolved, and so forth. And so I thank you, God, in my thinking as I was praying, for having met those needs. I thank you, God, for not judging me immediately for, you know, sometimes the bad attitudes I had and for the things that I did that I shouldn't have done and so forth. And so I started to just thank him so much for his salvation. And so I went on and I stopped, just simply spoke to God about those things. I thank you for all the patience that he has shown to me, and I thank him for all the people he brought into our lives that helped us, helped me to grow in my faith. I even thank him for the people I didn't like, people who brought me angst and agony, and, you know, people who just gave me a hard time. And I thank him for them, because even those people who were so critical and judgmental, or those people who show so much anger toward me or whatever it was, taught me to be patient, to be forgiving, to be loving. And so I say, God, I thank you. Because I wouldn't really have learned how to be forgiving unless someone hurt me. And I thank you because I'm no better than them because I say things, I do things, right, that I hurt others with and I criticize others and, you know, same way. So I thank God that he's been patient with me. And so I'm a little bit a better person today as a result. Next slide, I guess the question is, what does God think of you? When I was in college, my friends couldn't agree about what they thought about me. some of them said, you know, thought I was pretty. Others thought I was ugly. And so they came to a compromise and they just said, well, Daryl is just pretty ugly. What does God think about you? When he not looks at your physical appearance, it looks at your heart, and looks at your mind, and looks at your heart. What does he think about you? Can you truly appreciate the fact? I need to flip my notes. I'm sorry here. You know, but I guess the question again is, what do we think about? What does God think about you when he sees you? You know, sometimes we're sold deafened by all the busyness of life and all the activities of life. We're just so not audibly deafened, but spiritually, our spiritual ears are deaf and our hearts are kind of cold because we're just so busy with life and things that we have a difficult time hearing our God who is always speaking to our hearts through his Holy Spirit. What might God be saying to you in his gentle whisper or still small voice? Because it's not just, I guess, Elijah who would be a celebrity or a famous, very noble person being a prophet servant of God. God just doesn't speak to people like that, right? He speaks to each of us. He speaks to you. And it's gentle whisper. What do you hear? What is he saying? I want you to think with me about Jesus' water baptism. And it was at that time, the next slide here, God spoke in an audible voice when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. After Jesus was baptized, a voice from heaven says, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am pleased." Now I want you to understand something about this verse. Because God the Father said this about his son Jesus before Jesus began his public ministry. That means before anyone knew who Jesus was, before Jesus healed anyone, before he performed any miracle, before he became popular, before he spoke God's will and word with such authority that the people were so awed by him. This is the Jesus who nobody knew. And yet God the Father said about him, "This is my son whom I love." Here Jesus had no college degree. He had no savings account, no stocks and bonds, and no bitcoins to work with. Here's this Jesus who was just absolutely nobody in the public's eye. This is the Jesus whom was not a celebrity, completely unknown. And yet the Father said, "This is my son whom I love." Can you appreciate the fact that God does not just say this to Jesus for us to know? Can you appreciate the fact that God is saying that to you and to me? That's why it's on record in the Bible, at least in this way, and then supported throughout the New Testament. This is what God says to you and to me. Can you really appreciate this fact that God doesn't see your degrees? He doesn't see your wealth. He doesn't see your talents and skills, your status. He doesn't see how many people you know, how popular you are. He doesn't see your position in life. He just sees you. And he says, and he whispers to you constantly, "You are my daughter. You are my son. And with you, you're the one who I love. You are the one that I am well pleased with." And so in Jesus' next 3 years of ministry, or 3.5 years of ministry, after his water baptism, people at times by the thousands, as you know, right, started to follow him and listen to him. The public saw then the miracles. They started to see the healings. They saw, as never before, eyes and sight was restored. They saw demons cast out. They heard words that, you know, they've heard before, probably hundreds of times from the rabbis, and heard from the Pharisees and so forth. And yet Jesus said those probably similar words with such authority. It captivated them. This is the Jesus then, who just began to display that he is truly the Son of God, the Jesus of compassion. Well, and then as his popularity began to grow, so was the opposition. The Pharisees wanted to kill him. Now, while Jesus was fully aware at one point, finally, that his time was coming close to the crucifixion, and he started to agonize in his heart over that. And so we know that he did, and he tried to share it with his disciples that, you know, his heart was really troubled. And they couldn't understand. They couldn't accept that. They didn't know what to do with it. And we do know that he agonized, right, over the cross. It wasn't an easy thing for him to do, because he said a prayer before his crucifixion. He says, "My Father, if it is possible, may this experience be taken from me, and yet not as I will, but as you will." He knew what he had to do, but only the Father can pretty much overrule or change the plan. And he agonized in his heart over that. And so the people were opposed to him. He was starting to feel, okay, the cross closer and closer to him. And then there was an experience that he had, something we call Jesus' transfiguration. He went up to a mount with Peter, James, and John, and he appeared before the Father. And his whole appearance changed. It's almost like God the Father unveiled his son Jesus, and the people with the physical eyes were able to see the glory of God. And so, in this particular time, again, Jesus is agonizing over the cross. And then something happened in Matthew chapter 17. Next slide we have. A voice from the cloud in this Mount Transfiguration said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So the first time we heard this from God the Father was in chapter 3, right? Right after Jesus was baptized in water. And now we hear it again. Matthew records it in chapter 17. And the Father says again, a time when Jesus needed to hear words of encouragement, a time when he needed to sense the love of his Father, God spoke, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Ever feel like life has been overwhelming with problems? Ever feel like even now you've been facing challenge after challenges and don't know what to do? Ever feel like the pressures of life? Ever feel like you've messed up? Ever feel that you have failed and have a little sense of worth as a result? You've become cynical about life, about people. Ever feel like you're being slowly deteriorating because of addictions, maybe addicted to work and overworking? Maybe materialism is overwhelming you because you never can get enough, always got to have the latest and the newest. Feel addicted maybe to drugs or addicted to pornography or addicted to shopping? Ever feel that just life is just kind of out of control? Well, if you're a Christian, God the Father says to you, you are my daughter. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Well, God may not be pleased with a sin that we're committing, but nevertheless, it doesn't matter what sin you're committing. It doesn't matter what sin you're committing. If you are a Christian, God still says, you are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love. If you've never surrendered your heart to God, never said, Jesus, I want to live for you. I want to just let you be my God and my Lord. If you've never done that, it's still true. God is saying to you, you are my daughter. You are my son, whom I love, or I love you. God the Father says again and again, that's who we are, loved by Him. And He speaks to us and He doesn't shout it, but He does so in a whisper. Can we hear? Do we want to hear? Do we stop and completely expose ourselves and say, God, I can't hide anything from you. I just want to hear from you what you think about me, what you're whispering to me. When you and I hear the delights of how much God loves us, it's going to change us. When we hear this whispering of God that He loves us, it's going to move us to love Him back. If you really, really hear it, you're going to be drawn to Him. And that's no different from people in your life, right? People who are always negative, people who are criticizing you, people who are just a pain to be with, right? You don't want to be near them. But those people who care about you, right? Those people who love you, you want to spend time with them, right? You're drawn to them. And that's what God is wanting you to understand. And if you can really, really hear His whisper, you're going to be moved to draw closer to Him. When you hear Him speak to you and whisper to you, you're going to be moved to have Him with you each day and each moment of your day. It doesn't matter where you're at, unless you're robbing a bank or doing something. He's there, he's whispering, and you want Him to be with you. You want Him to be with you on vacation. You want Him to be with you when you're just sitting by yourself somewhere and enjoying the view or eating your lunch or whatever it is, in the quiet of the evening and no one else is around. And when we hear Jesus, God whisper to us, we're going to be moved to want to live for Him. We're going to be moved to want to obey Him and to please Him. Because His love compels us, draws us, changes us. If we would only listen, or only let Him do it. And so let me conclude very quickly. The trapdoor is, I feel it, it's vibrating. I'm going to go underneath here. Let me wrap this up very quickly. The next slide here is just, then how do we hear God whisper to you? Well, next slide says, believe that He whispers. That's biblical. God is constantly speaking to our hearts. His Holy Spirit is constantly drawing us to God, to bring us closer to Him, to be obedient and so forth. And then secondly, next slide, not only believe, but pause. Pause and listen with your heart. You know, we want instant coffee. We want to make little effort, right, to make our coffee. We want those little pods in their Keurig and then put it in, close it, and then walk away and do something else and then have the coffee done for us. And we have these instant pots, those new pots that are so popular where you can pressure cook, you can slow cook, you can do rice, right? We want everything just done. We don't want to do any work. But we have to just pause and just listen. Listen until you sense God's speaking to you and that you hear His whisper somehow in your hearts. He is speaking. You are my daughter. You are my son whom I love. And then in the next slide, thank Him for loving you. Just thank Him. Even if you don't hear that whisper, say, thank you, God, because your word said so. And it's not really how much I feel, because even if I don't feel it, your word still is true. And I stand by your word, and you say you love me. Thank Him for that love. And then lastly, live as one who has been loved unconditionally. You can go out and you can face the conflict. You can face the problems and the pressures. You can face the unkind neighbors, and you can face the conflicts with your family members or whatever it might be, because you're walking knowing that God loves you, He's behind you, He's for you, He's not against you, and you can live your life knowing you're unconditionally loved. There's a song, I'm done. There was a song I was just thinking about, an old song, In the Garden. Do you ever sing that? Do you know that song? Not in a while. He's forgotten how to play it. He's getting old. His memory is as bad as mine. No, I'm just teasing. Wow. You know, it's not a theologically sound song, but it is a meaningful song in the garden, right? And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Would you shut your eyes for maybe just a minute and just listen to God's whisper in your heart right now? Listen.